How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw the curtain to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we shall meet a young composer who faced ridicule to give to the world one of its most beautiful compositions. But first, a word from your announcer. That's a great message. Now step with me behind the scenes to a conservatory of music in St. Petersburg, Russia. It's not an imposing place, nor in the better section of the city. Outside the door is a sign that reads Anton Rubinstein, teacher of piano harmony and composition. As we enter one of the small studios, we see a young man seated at the piano. Standing beside him is a tall, bearded man who must be his teacher. The young man finished the piece he was playing and turned to the music master. "Well, Anton, how do you like my composition?" "Like it?" The teacher stamped a foot in disgust. "I don't like it. Why must you always write waltzes and other light music? That is for the Viennese. We Russians like music of a deeper nature." The composer wouldn't be disheartened. "But waltzes make good money," he countered. "Peter, my boy, soon you will graduate from my school. I hope someday you will be successful, but right now I don't like the kind of music you write. I've just received a letter from my brother Nicholas in Moscow. He says he can give you a position at his school teaching harmony." After his graduation, Peter went to Moscow to teach for Nicholas Rubinstein. But evidently his reputation as a lover of light music had preceded him, for the music master warned him not to try playing any silly, airy music at the school. Peter determined to write a piece of music the professor would like, so he set to work on an elaborate concerto. At last he had it completed. Nicholas Rubinstein listened to the whole piece in silence. Then the storm broke. The teacher rose from his chair and reached for the sheets of music, dashed them to the floor, and stamped upon them. The young composer thought his friend had gone mad, so greatly had his anger risen. "That is terrible," the professor roared. "It's worthless, unplayable. How do you dare to write such trash and have the nerve to take up my time playing it? Take it out and destroy it." If an unbiased spectator had come upon the scene during the tirade, he would have thought that the berated composer was a stupid, untalented, and conceited spoiler of music paper who had had the impertinence to show his rubbish to a celebrated man. But the youthful composer still believed that he'd written an acceptable piece of music, in spite of the cruel criticism. He had a friend arrange for a private audition for Hans von Bülow, one of the leading pianists of his day. Without making a change in the original composition, Peter played his concerto for the famous musician. When he'd finished, it received quite a different reception than that given by Nicholas Rubinstein. Von Bülow was lavish in his praise. "My boy, you've written a very commendable composition. I'm going on a concert tour of America soon. Will you allow me to be the first one to give your music to the world?" The first public performance of the concerto was given in Boston by Hans von Bülow in 1875. It became a favorite of lovers of classical music. But it was destined to have an even more glorious and popular future. But before we find out what has happened to Peter's concerto, a word from your announcer. The general public was practically unaware of the concerto until a foxtrot version was arranged and played by Freddie Martin in 1941 under the title of Tonight We Love. The composer who gave this beautiful music to the world was Peter Tchaikovsky. This is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.